You're listening to Audio Theater in a Darker Shade. This is DarkerProjects.com. Now our feature presentation. The human race, forget about them. Laid waste by the great catastrophe, the remnants of humanity fight for survival in a world scarred by a plague which causes the dead to walk again. Now the zombie hordes add to their infernal ranks with every fresh victim. Can a bold venture across the wastelands of the former United States of America hold the key to our salvation? Or does the future belong to the zombies? Darker Projects presents Alive Inside, Season of the Dead, Episode 1.
I fought in the war. I remember hearing my grandfather saying that to me when I was a boy. I fought in the war. I had no real idea which war he was talking about. It could have been Vietnam, Korea, maybe even World War II. But then he must have been a boy himself when that war was going on. But the scope of saying, I fought in the war, has a profound effect upon me. To those who risked their lives to defend what the United States stood for. Of course, saying I fought in the war during the zombie crisis took on a whole different meaning. Everyone fought in that war. You either fought it or you died. It was as simple as that. When law and order fell apart, there was no one you could count on besides yourself. No one was coming to help you. And worse, the dead were everywhere by that point. So if you wanted to live, wanted to stay alive, you had to fight. Fight just to see another day. There were some places that were safer than others. Where I came from, Bar Harbor, Maine. The undead plague had not reached the catastrophic levels it had in cities like New York and L.A. But we had our share of the dead that wandered the streets and attacked the living. I remember the day before the power went out, I'd been watching the last news report ever broadcast from CNN.
It has been confirmed that the recently dead are returning to life and attacking the living. The scope of this epidemic has now reached global proportions. All contact with Europe has been lost. Reports of the destruction of Hong Kong by thermonuclear weapon has been confirmed by multiple...
Hey, why'd you switch the tube off?
Because this is nothing we don't already know. They just keep covering the same thing over and over again. Why don't they tell us something new? Something useful?
Like what?
Like what caused this? Why are the dead coming back? Just how bad has it really gotten?
They've been getting reports from all over the world, so offhand I would say it's gotten pretty bad.
How can you be so glib about this, Adam? Aren't you worried at all? In the last few weeks, the whole planet has gone to hell.
Believe me, Kelly, I'm worried. I'm just thankful we live up here on the coast of Maine. If we lived in Boston right now...
Don't even go there. I just wish I knew what they were doing about all this.
I don't know. I really don't. When I was at the hospital today, there was a rumor that the army tried to retake New York.
They did?
Yeah, but they lost.
Lost? How the hell could they lose? They got guns, tanks, hell, even airplanes. These zombies don't have enough brain power to outwit a dog.
But there's a lot more of them than there are of us now.
How do you figure that?
One of the doctors explained it to me. Everyone who dies is coming back as one of them.
Everyone is coming back? But don't you have to be bitten?
No, it seems anyone who dies turns into a zombie. Then they attack the living, and everyone they bite just dies sooner. Then they get up and attack others who also die, and so on and so on. Their ranks swell with every death.
What are we going to do about this, Adam?
I don't know. I really don't know. The next morning, the power went out across the whole town. It never came back on again.
I fought in the war. I did two tours in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. Being a Marine, I was proud to serve my country, proud to have been able to fight the good fight. It wasn't like World War II or anything like that. although sometimes we tried to tell ourselves that we had an important job like that. We were saving our world from terror. Little did we know that the terror ahead of us would be nothing compared to the IEDs and snipers we lived with on a daily basis. When we got back, we were lucky that most people treated us like the soldiers we were, not outlaws or killers like some of the Vietnam guys complained about, or forgotten like the Korean War vets. When I stepped foot on American soil for the last time after being in the cold mountains of Afghanistan, I was the happiest man alive. No doubt about it. My wife was there. She was waiting at the gates for me, all dark and pretty, wearing a sundress that made her skin just jump in the light. I had been to Paris on a layover and I had bought her something from one of the boutiques. I know next to nothing about clothing, but the French lady had been very helpful. It was a present, something to show that I loved her. We had been trying to have a baby, but with no success. Not that it mattered. I was home and we could try again. We could have. There was this problem stirring in the world, something that we never expected, dreamed about. Well, maybe some crazy dreamed about it, or it would not have happened. Something from the movies, a nightmare. This nightmare was coming to us, staggering on the broken feet of a million monsters, people who had once been our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones.
Get up, Marine. This isn't Paris Island, mister. I expect you to be awake by 9 around here. There's things to do around this house. Now move it!
Jesus, woman, I had to work late last night.
Playing army with your buddies is not considered work.
Marines don't play army. Marines are very serious about war. Marines let the army play army because they're so good at it. Marines don't play... What's wrong?
The news today. I was watching the TV and things are bad.
I thought we agreed not to watch that alone, that we would watch it together so that we could talk about it.
You were asleep. I was bored.
Come here. Sit beside me. What happened?
They showed Columbus from the air. They were in a helicopter. There's people in the streets and they're attacking each other. Killing each other. They're leaving the city in droves. You should see them trying to get out of the city, Lyle. It was horrible. I'm okay. They said that New York is gone, and most of the East Coast. Nothing has been heard from California in a couple days. Atlanta.
Okay, Beth, that's enough. We're fine here, really. We live in the sticks. The people here are safe. We've got guys on the roads to make sure that no one infected comes in. We know what to look for. We all had the CERT classes, and I'm working with the police chief to get a regular system of patrol and warning system in place. The sheriff has deputized us, and we've got weapons and the authority to use them if we have to.
Force didn't help in New York, Lyle.
Honey, I've been to New York. Nothing was going to help that place. Seriously, we'll be fine. I promise. What was that? Christ, where the hell did all these people come from? Why didn't they stop them?
It's the people from Columbus. They walked here. Look at them. They look so defeated, so scared. There has to be something we can do to help them. I'm going to get my scrubs on and see if Dr. Vadenish is at the clinic. They're going to need medical care. Some of them look very dehydrated. Lyle, get dressed and come with me.
We should have shot them all right then.
The next morning, I walked to work as I had every day since I was hired almost 10 years ago. It was early autumn, and the sun had not yet risen. The leaves had only started to change color. This was always my favorite time of year, or at least until now it had been. Without power, the town was deathly silent. A slight breeze made the leaves rustle. But apart from that, there was no sound. It was as if the whole town had died overnight, and I was walking through its remains. That was when I saw the dead woman. Like every place else in the world, Bar Harbor, Maine, had seen its share of the walking dead. But unlike the major cities, the zombies had been few and far between. The local police force had been able to handle the reanimate situations when they arose, which made me wonder why they had not dealt with the dead woman I was seeing now. I had seen her around town over the years. She was one of those people you recognize but never get to know. Now I would never get the chance. Bloody gore covered the front of her shirt and half of her neck had been torn away. Her head hung listlessly on her shoulder. She was slowly making her way towards me. I picked up my pace to distance myself from the dead woman and pulled out my cell phone. The sooner I reported this, the sooner the police could deal with her. I was somewhat surprised to discover my cell phone could not pick up the signal. I shouldn't have been, considering the power was out all over the place. But something about this bothered me. I paused for a moment and saw the dead woman was still following me. I was surprised to see three other zombies had joined her. Where in the hell had they come from? And why hadn't someone phoned this in already? Screw this, I thought. I'd call the cops once I got to the hospital. The landlines were bound to be still working. And the hospital had a nice backup generator for when the power died. I hightailed it out of there and made my way to work. I should have known something was wrong as soon as I walked into the hospital parking lot. There were a number of cars parked, but almost all of them had had their windows smashed out. Some had their doors hanging ajar. Every so often there were blood smears on the paneling. But there was no one in them. I quickly went inside. It was dark inside. The generator wasn't running, or maybe it had run out of fuel, I don't know which. All I knew is it was dark, foreboding. If I had half a lick of sense, I would have left right then and there. Hello? Anyone around? Hello? Hello? Is someone there? It's me. Adam. Adam Davis. Can someone tell me what's happened here? Oh God. The zombie had once been my supervisor. From the looks of him, someone had been feeding on his arm and chest, and he wasn't alone. There were a number of zombies dressed in nursing and orderly gear. The sad thing was I knew each and every one of them. They had been friends in life. But now in death, all they saw in me was something to feed upon. I was about to run out when from behind me came a man in a doctor's coat. It was Dr. Lee Henderson. He was the chief surgeon of the hospital. He was carrying what looked to be an old rusty shovel.
Get behind me, kid. Take that. And that. And that too. The only way to stop him, kid, gotta bash him in the head. What the hell are you doing here, Adam?
My shift starts in a half hour.
Your shift? You got no idea what's going on here, do you?
No. What happened?
You know the morgue down in the basement?
Yeah. I thought it wasn't being used anymore.
Well, we've been storing those who've passed on, so to speak, down there for the last few weeks.
You what?
Must have been a good 20, 30 of those things. Those things in there.
You've been keeping them here?
Well, what did you expect me to do? Once they died, they come back, right? It's not like we could leave them up there in the wards with the other patients.
Fine. So how did they get out?
When the power went down last night, the magnetic locks must have cut loose. Didn't take them long to figure out how to open up a door. After that, well, they were all over the place.
Dear God. Did anyone get away?
Don't rightly know, really. A lot of people got bitten, I know that. A lot of the zombies made it outside, too. Christ only knows what's been going on in town.
I think I got a pretty good idea. Who else here is still alive?
No one. I'm the only one left, I'm afraid. The whole place is, well, it's just been overrun with the bastards.
Then let's get out of here. We'll head back to my house. My wife can...
Thanks, Adam, but no. See, it's sort of too late for me.
Oh, jeez. Does it hurt a lot?
Actually, yeah. Yeah, it does. Feels like someone poured acid on my skin. One of those bastards bit right through my arm. You can see how the infection's been spreading. I was able to bandage it up well enough, but I'm pretty much screwed. This time tomorrow, I'll just be another one of them.
Wait a minute. When all this started, you took that drug. What was it called again?
Proto-blood. If I remember right, you took the inoculation as well.
Yeah, I did. Wasn't it supposed to keep us from catching the infection?
Doesn't seem to be doing the job the CDC claimed it would now, does it? Maybe it's just slowed things down some. Might be the reason I'm still me while everyone else is already turned. But I can feel it, Adam. It's working its way through me. Already got a pretty good temp going. Just a matter of time now. You better get out of here. Sounds like more of them are coming this way.
What about you?
I don't know. Might just stick around here. Been a doctor here most of my life. Hate to think of the place as going to pot because of these bastards. Might do some cleaning up before I move on.
Good luck, Doc.
My luck's pretty much run out. Now get out of here.
Dr. Lee picked up his shovel and walked out into the main hallways. It would be the last time I would ever see him. I started on my way home, but my day was about to get a whole lot worse.
There were hundreds of people, more than we had room for. We tried to find places for all of them, but there just wasn't any place they could be put. In a town of 2,500 people, there is only so much public space. We had three churches, an elementary school, and the library, which was next door to the town hall. The sick, they were quarantined as soon as we discovered them. We put them in the largest classroom of the school with an armed guard at the door. This didn't go over too well, but we had more guns than they did. The walkers were angry, hungry, and scared. They had lived through only a glimpse of what was to come. They saw the dead walking and what they had done to their victims. We found a couple people who'd been bitten, and the chief of our little town moved them where they could not get at the rest of us. We didn't get them all. There were so many of them, so few of us. The chief and I tried to set up regular patrols out of the volunteers we had, but a lot of people just vanished behind their doors when the walkers showed up. They refused to help with the refugees. Who knows, if they had helped, things might have been different.
We got three trucks on the side streets and two patrol cars on the main streets. I told the guys in the trucks to call before they do anything. We're still getting stragglers from the walkers coming into town, and everyone just wants to shoot them. I sent Ray in the last cruiser to see if we could get some help from the county, but with the hills, we lost radio contact with him when he got to the ski lodge. He said there was nobody moving up to there.
Chief, what about the school? How many people do we have there?
Four. I've got two of the auxiliary officers going up there now. Doc Vadnish and your wife have their hands full.
I'll go over there.
725, code 6, 105 North Avenue, 52.
What the hell? Last traffic repeat.
They're trying to break into the grocery store. We've got the car blocking the door for now.
Hold your ground. If they get into that store, we're all screwed.
How many people do we have at the store?
Four, but they got those AR-15s. Grab your shotgun and let's get over there now. You'll have to drive since my car is headed north to get help. I'm going to tell the other two cruisers to get over to the store now and back up our people.
If we don't save that food.
You people need to back away. This is a secured area, and if you don't stand away, we'll be forced to take action. This food is for the citizens of this town. We've sent for relief. You will be taken care of.
Like they took care of us in Columbus? Like that? We're hungry. This is America. We have the right to get food.
You do not have a right to take what you want. You need to step away and calm down. Go back to the school, and you will be provided for.
Calm down. Listen, Johnny Law, you haven't been out there. You haven't seen what's happening. It's chaos out there, and you have to take what you want to survive. Right now, we want food, and we won't be denied.
Get back!
What are you gonna do? Shoot us? He can't shoot us, we're Americans. He can't keep us from the store, it's a business. They have to sell to us.
You don't understand. This is our home, our livelihood. You don't have the right to risk our survival. We're going to get you help. We are going to do what we can. Just go back to the school. This is an emergency situation. You do not have the right to break into this building.
They're not gonna shoot us. Let's go.
Fire over their heads.
Why would they overwhelm us?
Fire into the crowd. Protect this food.
No, return it.
Roll back. Get into the store. Hold them back.
There were too many. They rushed the store and broke the doors down. I don't know what happened to the chief or anyone else for that matter. I remember shooting several people as they came at me. By this time, it was like being at war all over again. We were trapped. Our backs against the building. The doors shattered and gave way. The crowd, now angry and out of control, grabbed at us, pulling us away from the store, and they began to beat us with fists and whatever they could find. I think that was when I was hit with a brick or something and got knocked out. I woke up and there were bodies everywhere. People bleeding, people walking around in shock. Some of the bodies began to move. With my last bit of strength, I grabbed up the shotgun and stood, narrowly avoiding the staggering man that came out of the store. Blood was still dripping from his wounds, and he seemed to groan with each step. His clothes were shredded, his hands and arms streaked with blood, and the flesh hung off his bones in strips. He had no face. I don't know how he knew I was there, but he turned toward me, and I did what I was trained to do. I stopped him. After that, I ran. I ran home. I hoped that Beth was smart enough to run home as well. All those people trapped in the school, all those walkers, the doctor, the guards, none of them were safe. It was as if hell had suddenly opened and vomited out every malformed demon that had been cowering at the gates. Someone had started a fire, and the stench of the smoke drifted across the town. It had a familiar odor to it, one I remembered from being at war. The smell of the deceased was strong in the air. It was not safe in our little town. The dead had arrived.
For home. In the early light of day, the town took on a completely new persona. In the darkness, everything had looked deceptively normal, but now I felt as if I were entering the remains of a war zone. The dead were everywhere. Dozens upon dozens of zombies roamed the streets aimlessly. There were screams coming from everywhere. A number of the houses were burning. Part of me felt I should try and help those people. But I didn't stop. I had to get home. I had to make sure Kelly was all right. As I came home, dread filled my stomach. The front door was wide open. The picture windows had been smashed to pieces. Kelly? Kelly, where are you? Kelly? Kelly, is that you? I picked up an old baseball bat I'd had since I was a kid. Slowly, I made my way up the stairs, not knowing what I would find. I hoped that somehow everything would be fine. Everything would be just the way it was meant to be. Maybe this was just a bad dream. Maybe I was still in bed and about to wake up to discover the world was normal, that the dead had not risen. I even made a quick prayer to God. I imagine God must have been getting a lot of prayers like that over the last few weeks. There were two of them. They had quite literally torn my wife apart and were gorging themselves on her body. Kelly! I don't know if the zombies even noticed me. They seemed quite content to keep eating my wife. I moved closer. I raised the bat and began bashing the closest one in the head. Over and over again, I smashed it until it lay limp on the floor. A black ooze flowed from its skull onto the rug. I did the same thing to the second one, until it too collapsed to the floor. For a moment, I thought it was all over, that it was done. Then, to my horror, Kelly began to move. Kelly tried to sit up, but there wasn't much left of her. She kept falling back to the ground with a wet thud. Oh, Kelly, not you too. When Kelly heard me speak, she tried to roll over, tried to move towards me. Some part of me hoped that there was a bit of recognition in her eyes, some part of her that knew I was her husband. But I knew, deep down inside, everything that had made my wife who she was, everything that I loved about her, was gone now. And this thing that was left in her place, it wasn't Kelly. It never again would be. As I had with the other two zombies, I bashed my dead wife's head in until she stopped moving. After that, I went out of our bedroom and sat down on the staircase. Outside, I could still hear the undead moans of the zombies, smell the smoke from the nearby house fires. God, how could it have fallen apart so fast? Did anyone else survive? Or was I the only one? The last survivor of Bar Harbor, Maine. What was I going to do now? Part of me just wanted to lie down next to Kelly and die. Everything I ever cared about was gone. My home, my wife, hell, even my job. All gone. All taken from me by them, the Walking Dead. I don't know how much time passed. A few minutes, maybe an hour. But I stood and walked back into the bedroom and opened up the closet. I pulled out an old duffel bag and started stuffing clothes into it. Then I went downstairs and opened the cupboards. I shoved in cans of soup, meats, bottles of water, whatever would last the longest. The last thing I tossed in was a bag of cashews. These had been Kelly's favorites. My stomach twisted as I tossed them in. Then I left the house. The place I called home for more years than I could remember. Outside, I could see dozens of the dead lumbering about aimlessly. One or two saw me and started my way. It wouldn't matter. I wouldn't be here much longer. I walked to the garage and opened it. The car I owned was an old VW Bug. I had had it since high school. I opened the trunk and tossed my duffel bag inside. Then, picking up a few cans of gasoline, I put them in as well. God only knew where I was going to be able to fill up again. Hell, were service stations even open anymore? I slammed the hood closed as the first of the dead came into my yard. I found myself smiling and waving at him. The house is all yours. Take care of it, would you? I might be back one day. And then I started laughing. Don't know why it seemed so funny at the time. I was still numb all over and laughing like a madman. Maybe I was, for all I knew. I got into the Bug and fired it up, drove out the front yard. A few of the dead started to pound on the hood as I passed them, but after a few minutes, I was out on the main road, heading out of town. I had no idea where I was going, only that I had to get out of here. I had to get away.
I ran through the streets of my small town, past my neighbors and friends, many of whom were dying or in the process of dying. I ran to my home because I didn't know where else to go. There was no place that was safe, only my house. I would be safe there. Beth and I could be safe, together. Her car was parked outside, parked badly. I teased her about that sometimes, but she was home. She was safe.
Beth? Beth, come on, get your stuff. We need to get out of here.
Beth? Beth?
Lyle? Maybe I'm glad you're home. I don't feel so good. What's going on out there?
What happened?
Nothing. I don't feel well. I think I'm coming down with something.
What's wrong with your arm? Why are you hiding it from me? What happened, Beth? What happened?
Baby, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it to happen. They were trying to hold down one of the people and give them a shot, and they started fighting, and they were struggling, and it was me and Dr. Vadanesh who were trying to help them.
Beth, tell me what happened.
She bit me, Lyle. I got bit. Now I'm going to die.
No, you're going to be fine. They're just fighting, that's all. They weren't infected. They didn't get bit. You'll be fine. We just need to get out of here right now.
I don't feel good.
He'll be all right. I'm here. It's going to be fine. We stayed on the floor for the rest of the day while the town burned and fell apart around us. I tried to help. I tried to comfort her. She was so cold. She shivered. She got sick and tried to apologize. My lady tried to fight. But in the end, it won. It always seems to.
I love you.
I love you. Stay quiet. You'll be fine.
I'm dead. I'm dead, Lyle. Get out of here. Here.
No, you'll be fine. It's a flu.
I love you.
Beth? Oh, Beth.
Lyle? Thought I would find you here. You okay?
Go away.
Lyle, you have to kill her.
She's already dead.
She'll come back and be like them, those things outside. You have to kill her. Lyle, listen to me.
Beth.
Lyle, you have to do this. Do it now. She'll kill you. She'll kill us all.
You've been listening to Alive Inside, Season of the Dead, Episode 1. Written by Eric Busby and Donald Kopp. Based on the novel Alive Inside by Eric Busby and Donald Kopp. Featured in the cast were Ellie Hirschman as Adam, John Specht as Lyle, Janine Yamanaka as Kelly, Laura Post as Beth, Chris William as the Chief, Mike, Dr. Puss West as Dr. Lee, Bruce Busby as the radio dispatcher, Eric Busby as the man from Columbus, Elise Croick as the CNN reporter, and Terry Williams, Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard, and Alexa Chapman as the zombies. This episode was produced and directed by Eric Busby, post-production done by Eric Busby. This has been a Darker Projects production.
Imagine if the world as you know it was nothing more than an illusion. What if creatures like elves, dragons, vampires, zombies, and werewolves walk amongst you every day, but you never see them? This is the world I walk in. I am called Byron, and these are my chronicles.
This has been a Darker Projects production. Visit us on the web at www.darkerprojects.com.